you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Welcome to Film Week. I'm Larry Mantle. Such a pleasure to have you with us. We're going to be talking about all the new films that are out this weekend, and we'll also get some picks from our critics as to some of the vintage and other series and films that are available to watch on streaming services or video on demand. Our critics this week are the president of the LA Film Critics Association, Claudia Puig, Peter Rayner, Christian Science Monitor film critic, and Christy Lemire, film critic for RogerEbert.com and the co-host of the Breakfast All Day podcast. We begin with the documentary Becoming. It's part of a series of films being made for Netflix under the Obama's production agreement with the streaming services. This documentary follows Michelle Obama during her book tour last year. Her book was also called Becoming. The film is directed by Nadia Hallgren. Claudia, what'd you think of the doc?
Well, if you love the book, you're going to love the movie. It's like the book is sort of coming to life. It covers some of the same ground, but Michelle Obama is such a warm, smart, and likable presence, and spending 90 minutes with her is such a wonderful treat. You feel reassured and inspired, and I found myself watching the film with a big, goofy grin on my face a lot of the time. And that doesn't happen for us critics very often, as you know. There's no huge revelations here. There are some wonderful, fairly intimate and candid moments between Michelle and her brother Craig. She laments how he was her mom's favorite, and he laments what it's like to have your sister be the most popular woman in the world. And there's a nice, short, sweet interlude with her daughter Malia. And then there's some great comments about when she first met Barack at work, and spoiler alert, he only makes a brief appearance in this. It's really all about her. And, she talks about resisting going out with him when they first worked at the Chicago law firm because people expected it and people were like, well, you're black, he's black, you two love each other, this will be great. And so she has that wry sense of humor that we've seen probably not enough of, during the years that she was first lady. And it's nice to see that in full form. She's also very inspiring. And, you see her along this 34-city book tour speaking to groups of young women, young people in general, mostly young women. And that's where you really, those inspirational moments really come through. But there are also just some really nice little moments. And she does speak out fairly candidly a couple times where she talks about her frustrations with the election and how a lot of people of color and women couldn't be bothered to vote, and that really put like a slap in the face. So I feel like, yes, it was a sanctioned documentary, but it was still revelatory enough. And, what we really get is a sense that she is one of those rare people that has a gift for making everybody she talks to feel important. She looks genuinely interested when she talks to the people that she signs, whose books she signs and all of that.
Becoming is the documentary on Michelle Obama's book tour. Christy, what'd you think?
I agree with a lot of that Michelle Obama is enormously charismatic and a really gifted storyteller and has a knack for connecting with people, whether it's one-on-one at a book signing or with a giant packed arena full of dazzled fans. And as Claudia says, she's just really enjoyable company for an hour and a half. It's cool to hang out with her. But the trailer suggests that this is her unplugged. And it's really not, because she's so media savvy by this point in her life and in her career. And she's gotten burned for actually speaking her mind, as she reflects on in the film. So you always have the sense that she's a bit guarded. And understandably so. She's really smart and really accomplished, and she knows she can't be completely candid. I do appreciate the moments where she talks about the racism that she and her family endured and what it was like to be in the White House during the Black Lives Matter movement. I wish we had seen more of that, because she's so intelligent and she has so many thoughtful things to say about complicated topics. But it's fun. you know, we hear from her stylist and from her Secret Service agent detail leader, and they have some funny anecdotes about working with her. So, yeah, if you already liked her, you'll come away liking her even more.
Becoming, the documentary, is streaming on Netflix. It's directed by Nadia Hallgren. It's rated PG. The documentary Rewind is directed by Sasha Joseph Neulinger. This is available on PBS as well as video on demand. Peter, what do you think of Rewind?
It's a really powerful documentary. It's part of a, I guess, unfortunate genre in a way of documentaries about families with a cycle of child abuse. Capturing the Friedmans is, I guess, the most prominent old example. Sasha Joseph Neulinger was born in 1989. He was abused as a child. There's a lot of home movie footage in the film, mostly dating from the late 90s. When he was a young kid, he was an extremely bright student, off the charts, testing, and then suddenly he just sort of withdrew from everything. This according to his mother, who's interviewed in the film. And so the film is sort of a species of suspense or mystery, but it would be demeaning to characterize it in that way, because it's really not a thriller in any real sense. It's about the psychological damage that was done to this boy and also his younger sister by those in his family. I'm sort of hesitant to say more than that, but, you know, in a way, withholding all of that, I think, doesn't really do justice to the full story, but I'll leave it at that. But it does really capture the cycle of abuse that happens within families and within generations of families. And it's quite shocking and revelatory, and Sasha, who, you know, directed the film, is he was extraordinarily brave to come forward in the way that he did in this film, the film, I think, represents a sort of healing to the extent that can be for him. But it's really a powerful movie that accelerates in its power as it goes along.
We're talking about the documentary Rewind, which will air Monday night on PBS nationally and also available on iTunes on video on demand. Christy, what did you think of Rewind?
It is devastating and it's heartbreaking. And no, it's not a thriller, but it is a horror movie, because what you experience reliving all these moments with him is just, it's physically, bodily shocking. And over and over again, there's imagery and conversations that will absolutely stun you. He is very brave. And this film is very effective because he doesn't need to in any way over-dramatize what happened to him, what happened in his family. He lets the facts play out, and he speaks to them in a very matter-of-fact manner, and that makes him that much more powerful. I don't want to give anything away, but one of the people involved with this, as we see, was a very high-profile person. And so beyond being a study of the horrors of the cycle of abuse, it's also a look at, you know, the discrepancies and disparities that occur within our justice system and how unfairly some people are treated and how others get off and should not. And so it has a larger context in that regard as well. It's very hard to watch, but very important.
Rewind is the documentary. Claudia.
I echo what everyone else says. You know, we don't talk about filmmaking as a form of healing very often, but that's exactly what it adds up to in this very, very powerful and compelling documentary. Sasha Neulinger is, you know, able to face these terrible memories and you know, go through this therapeutic process. And I think directing this film was a hugely courageous feat. It also really shines a light on what children have had to endure when they do have the bravery to step up and point out their abusers. They were, you know, he was interviewed by so many different people having to tell the same story over and over again. And one of the things that the film shows is that he's also gotten very involved in efforts to help, well, to further, obviously, stop abuse, but also to help young children who have gone through it and so that they don't have to go through this cycle, you know, after being abused and sort of become re-traumatized when they have to tell their story to so many different people and then, you know, be asked in so many different ways. He works with a organization that has children just talking, just telling their story once, and that way it's shown to all these other people. So he's actually, in addition to being a wonderful filmmaker, he is, you know, trying to make things better. So
all right.
Really a wonderful, well worth.
Rewind again Monday night on PBS stations nationally. It's also available on iTunes on video on demand. Sasha Joseph Neulinger is the director, and it's unrated. The documentary Spaceship Earth. I don't think we've started with three straight documentaries ever on Film Week before, but this tells the story of Biosphere 2, a self-engineered replica of Earth's ecosystem in which people were intended to spend 2 years living inside the Biosphere 2. Matt Wolf is the director of the film. Christy, what'd you think?
Well, the timing just couldn't be more perfect for a movie about being stuck indoors for 2 years straight.
Yeah.
These people are all, they chose to do it in the name of science and exploration and learning. But we follow this group of people who designed the biosphere from the very beginnings of their work as hippies in the 60s, doing avant-garde theater and really kind of being on the forefront of warning about climate change. And they're interested in different societies and interested in the earth. And they built a ship and they were interested in creating their own kind of world. And increasingly, they wanted to make this kind of simulation of what it would be like to live in space, but on Earth in the middle of Arizona. And it was a huge media spectacle. And, you know, there was a huge launch of all of them in their matching space suits going into the biosphere. And we hear from a lot of these people in their own words, and a lot of it is just, you know, bizarre and new agey, and the director certainly acknowledges it as such by letting them, you know, tell it in their own words. But he doesn't go deep enough, I don't think. We hear about kind of the unusual interpersonal connections that they all have with each other, but then we don't explore that deeper. And then eventually there's a backlash to Biosphere 2, which they also kind of gloss over a little bit. It's the kind of thing that if it happened now, there'd be a giant reality show about it, and Twitter would have the backlash to the backlash within a week or so. It would all be sped up. But it's fascinating and weird, but it doesn't quite go deep enough. Oh, and there's a Steve Bannon connection, because of course there is.
Claudia, what'd you think of Spaceship Earth?
Very much the same. I felt it didn't quite go deep enough, too. It also unspools rather slowly. And maybe that's the point. You know, it is the perfect movie to watch while social distancing, because if you think 2 months is tough, imagine being trapped in one place for 2 years. But that's kind of what I wish, you know, they had gone more into, like, emotionally how people felt during those 2 years. I heard there were other stories. Just, you know, simple Googling, you'll see that there was like a cockroach problem that they didn't, you know, further explore. I just feel like there was more there. And there's a lot of disparate parts to this sprawling story. And I think it could have come together better and deeper.
We're talking about Spaceship Earth, the documentary that is streaming on Hulu and on multiple video on demand platforms. You can also see it on the Frida Virtual Cinema and Lemley's Virtual Cinema. It's directed by Matt Wolf and unrated. And Matt Wolf will be interviewed coming up later this hour on Film Week by The Frame's John Horn. He caught up with him at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year. That's coming up later this hour. Spaceship Earth director Matt Wolf with The Frame's John Horn. Arkansas is a crime thriller starring Liam Hemsworth, Clark Duke, and Vince Vaughn. Clark Duke is the director and co-screenwriter. Peter, can you start us off? We got just about 40 seconds for a quick start on the film.
Yeah, this is a kind of Tarantino-esque, Coen Brothers-esque, with a little bit of Elmore Leonard, Jim Thompson thrown in. But somehow it does sort of have a distinctive tang. These two drug dealers, played by Liam Hemsworth and Clark Duke, low-level drug dealers, get involved in all sorts of nefarious low-level stuff, working for a guy named Frog, who they never meet, who's played by Vince Vaughn. Terrific supporting performances by Michael K. Williams, Vivica Fox, Eden Brolin. It doesn't quite add up to a full meal, even though it's overlong, but it
okay.
does a kind of rambling, affectionate weirdness to it.
We'll continue, hear what our other two critics say about Arkansas from director and writer Clark Duke. You're listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPCC and the KPCC app. It's Film Week on 89.3 KPCC and the KPCC app. I'm Larry Mantle. Hoping you're having a terrific day. We're telling you about what films you can see in your own home. A little bit later, we'll have some of our critics' picks for films that aren't necessarily new. We're talking, though, about the crime thriller Arkansas, starring Liam Hemsworth and Clark Duke. Peter was telling us first about it. Christy, briefly, what'd you think?
You know, it's quirky and lively and diverting for a little while, but then it really just drags, and it has all these different subplots and takes all these detours, and then eventually the threads all line up, and it's not nearly as profound as I think Clark Duke thinks it is. I feel like Clark Duke, the director, is in love with Clark Duke, the actor and co-writer, too much. This thing is all of 2 hours long, and you know, yeah, you've got Malkovich and Vince Vaughn vamping, and that's a little bit of fun, but it's never quite as good as the promise was off the top.
Arkansas, Claudia.
Yeah, I think this was an ambitious directorial debut by Clark Duke, and he does show some promise as a filmmaker, and maybe even more so as a screenwriter. But it goes on too long. It's unevenly paced. It seems to end a few times. It has a somewhat clever structure, you know, and certainly it has a good cast. Malkovich is great. But it's really more about character quirks than plot. So if you don't mind something that is sprawling and only sporadically fun, then maybe it's the movie for you.
Arkansas is rated R on multiple video on demand platforms. Natalie Wood, What Remains Behind, an HBO documentary that's on the premium service now. The film was directed by Natalie Wood's daughter, as I understand, Claudia. Is that right?
Well, no, she didn't direct it.
She produced it?
She produced it.
Okay.
She serves as kind of the narrator and the heart and soul of it. And so it was solid and intermittently intriguing, but I think ultimately kind of disappointing since it left a lot of stones unturned. And from the angle of being heartfelt and personal, it satisfied, you know, as told, you get the sense of what it must have been like, you know, how horrible what her children endured was, and certainly the fact that she was gone far too soon, and how shattered her kids were. And that comes through very loud and clear and very movingly as kind of a love letter. But, of course, there's the elephant in the room of her death and, you know, the whole Hollywood mystery of that. And it leaves us wanting to know more. It doesn't really clarify much. In fact, it kind of, not only does it not shed light on the case, but it kind of raises more questions. And it seems like a real effort to exonerate Robert Wagner, who's now 90. And he's interviewed along with the daughters. They refer to him as Daddy Wagner. And he does, you know, admit that he talks about the night on the boat. He talks about having been drunk. He talks about a fight that he got into with Christopher Walken. But it only goes so far. And I think it sort of shows the controversies in kind of a very limited light.
So, we're talking about Natalie Wood, What Remains Behind, the HBO documentary. Peter?
It's an interesting film, you know, because it is a sort of, you know, personal memoir by her daughter. And so there are a lot of insights into what Natalie Wood was like as a mother and all of her various, you know, cohorts and the men in her life, and you know, there's a lot of home movie clips and things, and Natalie Wood herself is on the audio track talking about her life. So all of that is fascinating, but it is true, as Claudia says, that, you know, the mystery of her death is overshadows everything else in the film, and it's obvious that the daughter doesn't want to, you know, get too tabloidy, and there are some emotional scenes where, you know, Robert Wagner pretty much breaks down in talking about it, but it just seems sort of bifurcated between all of that stuff you know, the Catalina death and the rest of her life. It's not really an examination of her career as an actress, per se. There are clips from all of her famous films, but that's really not what the movie's about. So it's very much a kind of authorized film by the daughter, but it's touching in that way.
And I have to say, I've interviewed Wagner, talked with him about the incident, and he'll only go so far. I mean, it's very, very clear that he will not go beyond that. We're talking about Natalie Wood, What Remains Behind, the documentary directed by Laurent Bouzereau on HBO now. You can check your local listings. It's unrated. The drama Driveways features one of the last performances by Brian Dennehy, who passed away just over a week ago. The film's directed by Andrew Ahn. Christy?
This is such a lovely and delicate and quietly moving film. I'm so glad that it's coming out, and I hope folks seek it out on streaming. Andrew Ahn directed Spa Night a few years back, which was set in Koreatown. He has this real knack for sense of place and for character. And this is about a mom, a single mom played by Hong Chow. She and her boy, who's about 10 years old, drive to a small town in upstate New York after the death of her sister to clean out her house. And they strike up an unlikely friendship with the war veteran who lived next door, played by Brian Dennehy. He's sitting out on his porch, and at first he's a little suspicious of them. Who are they? What are they doing there? But he and this kid, played by Lucas J, who is just great, who is not precocious in the slightest. He's really quite affecting. They have this really unusual and unlikely friendship that strikes up. And on paper, this sounds so mawkish and so feel good, and it's not. The emotions are so genuine and authentic, and the interactions feel natural, the way that these two get to know each other. And then the Hong Chow character is complicated and flawed in interesting ways. There's a rich sense of place. They explore a kind of subtle racism that exists when this Asian family moves in, and who are they? And it's really lovely and much needed, like a warm hug. And Brian Dennehy, it just breaks your heart all over again. He's so great in this.
Driveways is the film. Andrew Ahn, the director, Hannah Bowes and Paul Thareen are the screenwriters. It's unrated, available on Amazon Prime Video and on Google Play. Walk Away Joe, an action film starring Jeffrey Dean Morgan and David Strathairn. The film's directed by Tom Wright and written by Michael Melillo. Christy, what did you think of Walk Away Joe?
So Walk Away Joe shares its title with a Trisha Yearwood song from 1992. And that song accomplishes more in those 4 minutes in terms of creating a vivid sense of place and character and motivation than this movie does over the entirety of its 89-minute long running time or whatever it is. It is full of cliches about fathers and sons and abandonment and pent-up resentment. And there are all these coincidences that tie these characters together. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is this hustler, pool shark, and his son, played by Julian Fetter, is 14, and he's like his little sidekick who helps him scam chumps out of their cash at the pool halls in southern Louisiana. But then the dad bails, the kid goes to look for him, ends up befriending David Strathairn, who also has abandoned his family. He is the titular Walk Away Joe, and it's how everyone achieves a sense of forgiveness, catharsis. I didn't believe a minute of it. It's coincidental and does not work.
Walk Away Joe's unrated. It's available on iTunes, Google Play, Fandango Now, and Vudu. Intrigo, Dear Agnes, a European production, co-production, directed by Daniel Alfredson, who co-wrote the film as well, and it stars Gemma Chan. Claudia, what'd you think of Intrigo, Dear Agnes?
Well, fans of involving taut and clever murder mysteries should definitely steer clear of this one because it's none of the above. This is the story of an unhappy wife, played by Gemma Chan, who was in Crazy Rich Asians and was quite good in that. she comes up with a murder scheme, and she turns to an old friend that she hasn't talked to in decades to carry out this murder of her husband. And we're not giving anything away because that's established early on. And it's never established why she chooses this old friend. But ostensibly it's because neither she nor the old friend seem to know any other people. It's a very dull movie for something that's a mystery thriller. It's clumsily structured. It's narratively muddled. It's not particularly well acted. It's even set in these beautiful European locations that don't seem to showcase their beauty in any way. This is a big miss. It's too bad because it's directed by Daniel Alfredson, who made The Girl Who Played with Fire, which was with Noomi Rapace and Michael Nyqvist, and some of those are such, you know, they can be such great films, but this is not.
And this, I understand, is the third film in a trilogy?
Yes, there was another one with Ben Kingsley called Intrigo, Dear Author, which was just as bad. Yeah, I don't know why these miss, because, you know, mystery crime thrillers are, can, you know, when they're done well, can be fantastic, but this is just second rate.
Intrigo, Dear Agnes is rated R, available on multiple video-on-demand platforms. Valley Girl, a romantic musical comedy starring Jessica Roth and Josh Whitehouse, Rachel Lee Goldenberg, the director, Amy Talkington is the writer. Christy.
This movie hurts my heart, and not in a good way. I am a Valley Girl. I grew up in Woodland Hills in the 80s. I love the original Valley Girl. This is a musical version of Valley Girl, and it feels very cringy and small and tinny, and it's got this whole flashback structure where Alicia Silverstone is Julie talking to her own daughter, played by Camilla Marone, and they flash back to the whole Randy and Julie, Romeo and Juliet, you know, forbidden love across the hills, and it's got a similar structure to Valley Girl, and then they burst into song. One thing I have to complain about, and I realize this is very nitpicky, the songs are quite anachronistic. It takes place very specifically in June of 1983 because they reference Sally Ride going into space. But they have songs. They have Madonna Material Girl, which is 1984. They have Take On Me by Aha, which is 1985. And if they want to evoke this very specific place and time, you got to get that stuff right. It's okay. When Jessica Roth and Josh Whitehouse aren't singing, they actually have kind of a nice chemistry with each other. Jessica Roth was very good in the Happy Death Day movies. But this just made me cringe a lot.
Valley Girl, the musical, rated PG-13, available on Amazon Prime Video, Google Play, and iTunes. The French comedy On a Magical Night, written and directed by Christophe Honoré. Peter, what'd you think?
Yeah, the very French. it's a French sex farce. It's pretty much Earthbound, however. Chiara Mastroianni, who's the daughter of Catherine Deneuve and Marcello Mastroianni, is a history professor who has an affair with a 20-something student. Her husband, Richard, well played by Benjamin Biolay, finds out about this when she comes home from her text messages that she leaves on her cell phone. And so they have one of these, you can't throw me out, I'm leaving, kind of fights, and she takes a room across the street from their apartment in the hotel, looking across the way. And in the hotel room, she finds waiting for her a 25-year-old version of her husband, played by Vincent Lacoste. And ultimately, also piling into the room are all the men that she's had affairs with, her mother, her grandmother. You know, it gets pretty crowded in there. It's not terribly, it's very French, as I say. Even a character, you know, playing Charles Aznavour shows up. It reminded me of those circus acts where, you know, how many clowns can you pile into a bug? There's also the piano teacher that the husband had a crush on, played by Camille Cotin. It's a very French line where at one point she says, all boys dream of having a piano teacher. You know, I wish this film was a little lighter and light-fingered and had more, you know, lyricism to it, but it's pretty stage-bound, and it doesn't really add up to a lot, even though there are a lot of attractive people in it.
On a magical night, French Comedy is unrated. You can see it at the Frida Virtual Cinema site and Lemley's Virtual Cinema site. Peter, let's quickly talk about three family films that you're recommending for people to go back and look at. They're available on multiple streaming platforms, beginning with 1956's The Red Balloon, which I remember them showing to us as kids in school.
Yeah, I mean, it was came out in 1956, and it's a great classic. It's one of the films, I think, that really has turned a lot of kids into movie lovers, you know, along with E.T. and others like that. It's Albert Lamorisse made it. His son is the little boy in it who is befriended by magically by a red balloon that follows him everywhere. And it really is just, you know, a transcendently beautiful movie. It's kind of a perfect movie. I don't really know that there's anything I could possibly say against.
Yeah, what could you say against The Red Balloon from 1979, The Black Stallion?
Yeah, this is, I think, equally great. Carol Ballard's incredible rendition of the Walter Farley novel. Kelly Reno is shipwrecked on a desert island, and Mickey Rooney gives the best performance of his career in this. It's just a magical movie.
And A Little Princess from Alfonso Cuarón.
One of the great family films, Cuarón's Hollywood debut.
It was just very powerful from 1995. Peter, thank you so much. Claudia and Christy, we have more to come. It's Film Week on 89.3 KPCC. It's Film Week on 89.3 KPCC and the KPCC app. Larry Mantle with critics Christy Lemire, Claudia Puig, and Peter Rayner. Coming up in just a few minutes, John Horn interviews Matt Wolff, the director of Spaceship Earth, a documentary that was reviewed earlier this hour by our critics. I wanted to mention a film that's not widely streaming in its availability, but if you are a fan of either abalone or sea urchin, uni, a must-see is The Delicacy. It's from director Jason Wise, who also did a very entertaining documentary about sommeliers, I guess it was about 9 years ago or so, called Somm. And he actually has a subscription site which has documentaries related to sommelier and other food topics. It's Somm TV. The Delicacy is streaming on his site. There's a free 7-day trial in which you can see The Delicacy, and it all takes you off of Santa Barbara, where you see many of these folks. Only one woman who's profiled, she's the lone woman doing this very dangerous work, diving to come up with sea urchins off Santa Barbara. But it's great look back at the history of California and abalone gathering and sea urchin, takes you into some of the finest restaurants in Southern California, the whole culture of that. Jason Wise's film, The Delicacy, and again, Somm TV has a 7-day trial where you could see it free or, of course, subscribe. We continue with our Film Week critics talking about some of their favorite picks, and Peter talking about A Little Princess, 1995, Alfonso Cuarón film, The Black Stallion, The Red Balloon. Claudia, let's talk about some of your favorites, beginning with Netflix series The Keepers, which came out a couple of years ago. Documentary series?
Yes. You know, now that I don't have to run around and go out to screenings, I'm catching up to some shows that I meant to watch. And one of them is The Keepers, which is fascinating. Since we've been talking about some great documentaries today, this is a 7-part documentary series, and it's from a few years ago, and it kind of kicked off the true crime fascination that many of us have in documentaries and podcasts. And it brilliantly composes these strands of a very complicated mystery and exposes buried secrets in this suburb outside of Baltimore, and that the Catholic Church is part in it. It's about a nun that was murdered, who is much loved. served, a teacher at a local high school, and these two very determined women in their mid-60s who piece together the threads in this brutal murder, and then they're like amateur sleuths, and they kind of anchor the documentary series, and then along the way, there's a few other very courageous women who come forward to reveal what's happened to them, and it's very complicated and fascinating, and it's really binge-worthy.
All right. You also want to recommend on Netflix, and this was on cable before it jumped to streaming, S-C-H-I-T-T apostrophe S Creek, Schitt's Creek, much like the Christopher Guest kinds of films, Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara in this, and Dan Levy, the son of Eugene Levy in the film as well. For those who haven't seen it, briefly describe it, Claudia.
Well, so it's about this family. I'm so glad you spelled it, because I really wanted to avoid pronouncing it and getting in trouble with the seven words you can't say. Anyway, it's about this family who's extremely wealthy and just extremely garish and obnoxious, and they lose all their money, I think, from bad investments. And so they end up in this little town that the father, who's played by Eugene Levy, had bought for his son, who's played by his real-life son, Dan Levy, as a joke. And it's called the name of the show. And so they end up in this little godforsaken town, which is actually kind of charming in some weird way. But so it's, you know, the clash. It's like the Beverly Hillbillies, only maybe reversed. You know, these very sort of nouveau riche, obnoxious people who come to this little town. And then Chris Elliott plays the mayor of the town in a role that he seems he was born to play. And, you know, it's fun and light and escapist. And when we've been watching some heavy stuff, I kind of turn to it.
Yeah. Schitt's Creek is on Netflix. Also, Claudia, I know you wanted to mention that Alamo Drafthouse, like some of the other art house theaters, is launching its own virtual cinema VOD platform. They've got Parasite, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, even Rock and Roll High School available.
Yes, that's right. And Spaceship Earth is going to be part of a similar kind of thing through Vidiots, which I'm on the board of, actually. So Alamo Drafthouse and Vidiots have worked together, too. So, I think it's, you know, the more platforms we're seeing, the better, because who knows when theaters are going to be opening back up.
All right, very good. Christy, let's get some of your picks for films that maybe people didn't have a chance to catch up with before. What are some of your favorites you want to send people toward?
Well, I'm loving, as Claudia mentioned, all the great stuff that Alamo Drafthouse has on their VOD. It's a really deep bench. They also have RBG there as well. We'd all send good vibes to Ruth Bader Ginsburg these days. But I'm watching a lot of series, as we all have time now. And we are in the middle of a couple that are really great, one of which is Mrs. America on Hulu, which we are about six episodes into right now. And it is about the Equal Rights Amendment. And Kate Blanchett stars as Phyllis Schlafly. And she is exquisite and terrifying. And it's a really delicate performance for a woman who was also larger than life. Incredible cast. Margot Martindale, Rose Byrne as Gloria Steinem, Uzo Adubo as Shirley Chisholm. And it shows both sides of that debate. I'm also loving The Last Dance on ESPN. This is the Michael Jordan documentary, the 10-part series that got moved up and premiered earlier to entertain all of us while we were all stuck at home. Episodes 7 and 8 air this weekend, but they're all available on ESPN. And maybe you think 10 hours of Michael Jordan sounds excessive. Maybe you don't think you care about Michael Jordan, but it is really deeply sourced and edited in a beautiful, thrilling way. And I'm very much hooked on that. So
Tim,
a lot of good.
I was going to say, Tim Gogshell was talking about this last week, too. And I just found out it's not done yet. They're still finishing up those final two episodes because they moved it up, like you said.
Right. He, like the director, Jason Hare, who is really, really good, like just finished cutting episode 9.
I love it.
But it's all out there. You can catch up from the beginning. And you do end up reappreciating Jordan, you know, and great interviews with like Larry Bird and Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson. It's very, very good. Even if you don't love basketball, you'll enjoy it. But if you do love basketball, it's even better.
All right. Yeah, if there wasn't enough pressure on documentary filmmakers. Wanted to mention some sort of fun movies for people to see streaming. One of them, even though it's not Christmas time, Elf from 2003.
Elf is a movie that just puts a smile on your face. You know, there are some movies like Sing Street that do that for you. They're just pure joy in film form. And Will Ferrell just being a goofball in an elf costume is a perennial favorite. It doesn't have to be Christmas, but if you want a big, goofy, joyous escape, Elf is it.
All right. Also in that sort of escapist fun, Legally Blonde, Reese Witherspoon from 2001, Ocean's 11, not the Sinatra version, but the rebooting of that, and Singin' in the Rain, considered by many to be the greatest musical ever made from 1952. I want to thank our terrific Film Week critics. That's Christy Lemire, Peter Rayner, Claudia Puig, all joining us. And stay tuned. Coming up next, it's going to be our feature portion of Film Week, as John Horn is going to talk with the director of the documentary Spaceship Earth, available this week.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.